Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner is a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, capturing the spirit of San Francisco. Today's guest in part two of our conversation, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, John, part of the fallout from the trades the Giants made is that somebody's got to be a casualty in the rotation. It turns out that it's Jake Peavy. Not surprising, because he wasn't pitching great this year as a starting pitcher. Matt Cain definitely seems to be coming on a little bit better after his hamstring. And according to Bruce Bochy, Jake Peavy is more suited to being a relief pitcher because he could warm up a little quicker, even though he really hasn't done it. I think he's been a relief pitcher one time in his entire career. Mm-hmm. But how do you look at it? I mean, it seems like he is a great soldier, and as far as attitude, that he's a perfect choice to make a transition like that. But how do you look at it as far as not only attitude, but just the ability to make the transition?
Well, you have to acknowledge that he did it without a fight. He did it, you know, professionally. He moved to the bullpen. He kind of knew it was coming, I'm sure. But, you know, so he takes the high road. On the other hand, is he suitable for that? I don't know. I mean, you know, Zito wasn't, Hudson wasn't. A lot of these guys at the end of the line are moved to the bullpen, and everyone expects them to be in their prime again. And like Lincecum in 2012, just a super-duper reliever. It's not that easy. It's a whole different rhythm. A whole different timetable, the great unknown. You never know when you're going to get called to warm up or called to pitch in the game. These guys live on a five-day routine. PB in the old days could have gone into a series in Colorado knowing he wasn't going to have to work, you know, work up a sweat for 3 days, knowing he's going to pitch the next day in Arizona. So it's a completely different lifestyle, and it's something that he's going to have to get used to. I'm sure they're going to look at him more of a long reliever, but maybe, you know, there's a lot of inexperienced arms here in terms of pennant run, you know, experience. And, you know, maybe he will get a elevated role as the weeks progress here. But I think, you know, Bochy says, oh, he's more suitable. Well, you know, the only other choice was Cain. And, you know, Cain is coming off five hitless innings, threw a lot of pitches. You know, PV, three rough starts in a row, gave up a bunch of home runs, six and three starts, 13 home runs in those, you know, never went deep into the game. So, you know, that's been his weakness, not being able to get through the lineup the second or third time. And Cain, at least, I mean, you know, they want Cain to stick around. I mean, he'll have to stick around because he signed through next year. He's got the big $100 million contract, and Cain PV will be a free agent. So it's the only way to go, really, in terms of the future, in terms of the now. And but will he succeed? I mean, that's a great unknown, because I mean, you look at Hudson. Remember, Hudson just kind of went away last year. It was his last season, and they farmed him out to the bullpen, and then they put him on the DL. And I said, hey Tim, I heard it was a shoulder. He said, yeah, go with that shoulder.
That's whatever you want.
And,
yeah,
basically, hey, we need someone to come off the roster, and you're the guy, the old pro. You know, he wasn't losing any more money, and he was going to retire anyway. And you know, good guy, good teammate. So he took the hit and took the high road. So that's what PV is doing now. So I mean, maybe he will have a big role, but history shows a lot of these guys don't easily adjust into the bullpen in their final days. And I'm not saying Peavy's going to retire. He thinks he can still start. And Hudson was saying the same things, if you remember, a year ago. He said, I still consider myself a starter. I can still start. I can still get out, still be effective in this league. Well, then he retired. I mean, Peavy, I'm sure, will try to pitch again next year. I don't know if it'll happen. Probably won't happen in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think it's real difficult to not have those 4 days in between all of a sudden be asked to go out, and maybe not in back-to-back days, but, it is a special job. If he's going to take over, let's say it was the Yusmeiro Petit type role, and Petit was just so good at that, I don't know that you could just plug a guy in. I mean, we're going to see. Maybe he does. Maybe he's going to be good at it. We don't, like you said, we don't know. But I think a lot of people just kind of undervalue that, don't realize how difficult that is and how great Petit was in that role when he was with San Francisco.
And, you know, Petit was younger. He perfected the role. It took him years to get to that level. Peavy is becoming a reliever overnight. You know, they might need him the very next day, within a couple days of the demotion. Who knows? And who knows what role? They might need him in a pinch. And if guys are in consecutive days, you know, he'll be called maybe to pitch late the third day. So it's to be seen. But, you know, one good thing about this is maybe he'll have some kind of veteran influence down in the bullpen, because there are so many young arms, so many, like I said, inexperienced arms in terms of a postseason experience, September experience. You know, Strickland obviously was in the 2014 postseason, didn't do great, gave up a lot of home runs. It's 2 years later, and you know what? There's a lot of inconsistency in that bullpen, and they didn't get the lights-out closer at the trade deadline, so there's going to be a lot of questions from here on out.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Townsend Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Townsend, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. Your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Townsend also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Townsend has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Townsend is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too. Inconsistency is definitely the order of the day in that bullpen. I want to talk about the roles, but first of all, it's just, to me, John, it's about some of these guys stepping up and proving that they can really do it at the major league level. I mean, recently I had Jeremy Affeldt on this podcast, and he was talking about that, about identity. And I think for starting with Hunter Strickland, I mean, there's a guy who could have taken over the closer job, but he never was consistent enough. He wasn't getting his slider over, and that was making his fastball hittable. Now, you know, just the last outing I just saw that he had in Philadelphia, he looked like he could be, you know, the real deal there, because not just because of the velocity, he actually was throwing it where he wanted to, and we haven't seen that very often. How important is that? I mean, do you think, is he maybe the key because of the arm that he has? I mean, what do you look at as far as the guys who need to step up in that bullpen?
Well, they just got Will Smith, the left-handed, you know, veteran reliever who has a track record of doing well against both righties and lefties, like Affeldt did. You know, lately, obviously, Smith has given up a lot of hits to left-handers who have been hitting over 300 against him this year.
Right.
He opened the season on the DL, so it was a smaller sample size. But again, if you look at this, you know, it's a cry from the so-called core four of relievers, Affeldt and Lopez and Romo and Casilla, who were there for all three championship runs. And heck, a year from now, none of them might be around. Affeldt retired. The other three are in the final years of their contracts. So it's kind of a new era in that bullpen, and guys are going to have to step up. You know, Strickland, Osich were supposed to be the guys. You know, Osich, whether it's fatigue or a forearm strain, he's on the DL. And they have Smith as a left-handed complement to Lopez. And Casilla is the closer, and they didn't get Chapman, and they didn't get Melanson, and they didn't get Miller, all these elite closers. So as a result, Casilla stays with the job. A lot of fans might cringe, but he has looked okay late. But, you know, just as I say that, sometimes he has some real rough ones. So really, this is going to have to be done from within. If they're not going to get another reliever, Strickland and Osip comes back along with Law, and Romo looked okay when he came off the DL before the break and a little bit after, but you know, suddenly he's given up some home runs and a couple on fastballs in the opener in Philadelphia, and you know, big hits against him and some home runs earlier, 2-1 game last week. So it's a situation where everybody has to be on the same page and everybody has to contribute simultaneously. They can't have one or two guys fall out, because that's not how pennants or championships are won. So I think Strickland is going to have to be a key guy along with Romo. You know, as the right-handed, you know, seventh, eighth guys to complement the lefties to get to Casilla. And will that happen? Well, it sure would help if Casilla stopped blowing saves.
Well, what you said in there about Romo throwing the fastball and giving up the homer, it kind of goes back to when he came on this podcast recently. He was talking about how maybe he was considered to be too one-dimensional with the slider. And I don't know if he's trying to do too much by going away from it a little bit. And the same thing with Strickland, where, I mean, he wants to be more than just a fastball thrower. But, you know, to me, with Strickland, I'd like to see him get his slider over more often. But I also think it's about locating his fastball. I mean, he doesn't have to throw 99, but if he locates that on the outside corner or something, I mean, the hitters aren't going to get to him. To me, a lot of it does have to do with how these guys are locating, because they have the stuff. I mean, you look at the arms they have in that bullpen. It's almost as if they have the ability. It's just, can they execute this down the stretch of the season?
Yeah, and one advantage Strickland has over any of those core four guys is velocity. You know, he could amp it up to the high 90s, and none of those guys were able to do that. Casilla throwing the hardest, and obviously Romo doesn't usually break 90. And, you know, Lopez is a situational guy, and Affelt more like low 90s, but very effective. And Strickland, sometimes when you come up relying on velocity, that's all you rely on. You don't rely on sliders or change of speeds or command as much, because fastballs in the high 90s worked all the way through to the higher levels of the minors. Now these guys know what they're doing at the plate. They're going to be on you. They're going to be expecting. They can hit 100 if it's straight, right? They can
exactly
hit 105 if it's straight.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why you're much more effective at 92 with movement and command. And that's what it comes down to, Strickland. And another factor is the confidence level. With the inconsistency comes a lower level of confidence. So, I mean, they're going to have to succeed to gain that level of confidence to go forward. And I mean, Rigetti's got his, you know, he's got some situations he's got to deal with in the next few weeks. I think the bullpen, you know, will make or break this team going forward.
We'll get back to the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Hey, Giants fans, whether you're taking pictures of Little Leaguers or the pros, Tamron Lenses and Keeble and Shuckett Photography have the perfect lens for you. The award-winning Tamron 16-300mm all-in-one zoom is more versatile than your basic kit lens. With amazing Tamron quality and image stabilization, you'll never need to switch lenses again. Whether they are sliding into home or making a spectacular catch at the wall, your Tamron lens will catch them all. Tamron has lenses for all of your photographic needs, and you can get your Tamron lens at Keeble and Shuckett Photography in Palo Alto. Contact them at www.kspphoto.com. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Let's talk about Hunter Pence. He comes back, and it's not just about him being a 300 hitter with power and a good outfielder and all that. There's a lot more to it because of what he brings as far as the energy to this team. And, John, you've been in clubhouses for a long time. You've been covering baseball such a long time. Have you ever seen a guy that does influence a team. I mean, is it overrated in some respects? I mean, it's so well documented in the media. It's talked about a lot about how Pence just kind of rallies the troops. What's your take on what it really does mean to the Giants in the last 2 months of the season?
You know, sometimes the guys who rally the troops might be the backup catcher or a utility infielder, but not a 3-4-5 guy. And that's where Pence is different. He's humble as a star, and because of that, he relates to everybody 1 through 25. He might be the first guy to greet the AAA guy, whether he's a pitcher or hitter, up from the minors in September, to say, "Hey, you know, we need you. You know, we kind of it's not like we're big leaguing you and stiffing you and you know, rookie hazing you. It's like, hey, dude, we need you." And that's kind of been a factor since he arrived, you know, a few years ago and won 2 championships with this team. He told me a story of how in the low minors he was hurt, and he was kind of, you know, outspoken, and everybody liked him. And manager came to him one day and said, "Hey, we need you to talk to these guys." And here he is, you know, early 20s, barely 20, and he's already thrown into the job of leader, a role that he obviously enjoyed and took off with. And he started talking more and guys on the back and having one-on-ones. And you see that. I see it a lot in the clubhouse. You know, Pence walking across the room and sitting down at Mac Williamson's locker for a half an hour, right? And it's, you know, maybe you don't see that with Buster Posey, the quiet leader. Right, or Brandon Crawford, who's also quiet. Pence is outgoing. He's not afraid to come down to the rookie, you know, corner of the clubhouse and mingle. And they respect that. And there's nothing like confidence as a young kid in the big leagues to make a difference in a pennant race. So that's the sixth tool that a guy like that would bring: off the field leadership and presence. You know, and it really worked. As soon as he showed up, they won 2 games for the first time since the break. Then they lost a couple. But it's you know, not all on him. And will he play every game? I mean, he's coming off the hamstring. You know, he doubles in his first at-bat and kind of buckles at the plate before running to second. And you say, oh, boy, you know, what happened to the leg? And he explained afterwards that was thing he does a lot. You know, he swings so hard he kind of falls sometimes at the plate, and that's what happened. So it wasn't any reason for alarm, and he says he's healthy and he wants to play every day. I think Bochy's going to manage him and panic, you know, who's coming off the concussion and, you know, hasn't played a whole lot, and of course Pagan and Posey. So he's going to move these guys in and out of the lineup, and that's one good reason to have Eduardo Nunez around. You know, he can play multiple positions.
Well, you mentioned Pence being different than, let's say, Buster Posey. And, I mean, I guess you have that mix. How much of that do you think is planned by the Giants, that they have all these different types of personalities? I mean, I guess any ball club does, but they seem to plug in the right pieces as far as that is concerned to have that clubhouse chemistry. Because if you have all 25 guys that are, you know, quiet, I don't know if that works. Or if you have 2,500 Pences, you know, maybe that's great, but I don't know. Maybe they start to drive each other crazy if they're all, you know, just like rah-rah like that. You know, I don't know. It seems like they just have the good mix going.
I don't know if it was on purpose. The Giants needed a hitter at the deadline and got Pence, and they needed a big-time hitter in the draft and got Posey. And I think, you know, I'm not going to call it luck, but they were very fortunate the way it turned out. And they have a history of drafting shortstops and moving them to other positions. Sabian told me that when he coached at the junior college level in Florida and later the 4-year college level, he used to recruit shortstops, sometimes nothing but. Because he always thought out of high school at that young age, you can move a shortstop to the outfield or second base or third base or first base, make him into a catcher. Posey was a shortstop in college. So they have a track record of drafting shortstops. Duffy was a shortstop. Crawford, of course, was a shortstop. Panic was a shortstop. Arroyo was a shortstop. Posey was a shortstop. You know, all these guys played short. I bet if you ask Brandon Bell, he'll say he once played shortstop. maybe awkwardly from the left side. But my point is, that's their history, is drafting ball players / shortstops and kind of developing them in the minors and turning them into what they are today.
More with John Shea in just a moment. The Bay Area is a playground for all levels of cyclists, and the best bicycle store around is Breaking Away Bicycles in Marin. Established in 2005, Breaking Away Bicycles was built on a passion for getting people outside. Donna started the shop after 19 years managing Angel Island, watching kids and adults enjoy riding around the beautiful landscape. She left the corporate world to help more folks get on bikes. Rich joined the team and dedicated his life to being constantly covered in grease. He'll get you rolling no matter what. So stop by Breaking Away Bikes in the heart of Ross at 7 Ross Common, or check them out on the web, www.breakingawaybikes.com. Well, speaking of turning a shortstop into a position player, you know, at a different position, Christian Arroyo, like you mentioned him being a shortstop when they drafted him and even in Class A, but they're playing him around the infield now, that, you know, and they even looked at him as maybe being an outfielder. But now with Duffy traded away, it looks like third base could be his future. And, you know, it's funny, looking at the Giants, I think the philosophy for Brian Sabian and Bobby Evans is that we would really like our young players to get a lot of time in the minor leagues, be really ready when they get to the big leagues. I think they say that, and I think they honestly want that to happen, but it doesn't always work out that way. I mean, it seemed like Brandon Crawford was thrown into the fire. Even Buster Posey came up a little bit before his time. You know, it was almost like, you know, we'd like to have him in the minors more, but we really need him now. And I think that could happen with Arroyo, do you think?
Yeah, they have rushed guys. You know, Duffy up from Double-A. You know, Crawford was rushed. They'll admit that. Panic, not long before he became the everyday guy, Sabian went public and said, you know, he's not ready. Arroyo is, what, 21?
I think he's 21 now, yeah.
He's young. So, I mean, he's the youngest of the bunch. I mean, he's, you know, usually 23, 24 is a good age to call up a guy, whether it's through college for 3 years and 3 years in the minors. But Arroyo, he's coming quickly. He's in Double-A, and before the deadline, you know, apparently Sabian was down following Richmond to double check on Arroyo to check the box to make sure, you know, with everybody else in the front office that, yeah, this is the guy we don't want to trade. This is the guy we want to give up Duffy for. This is the guy who's going to play third base down the road. Certainly he's not going to play short. He's not going to play second. You know, they got guys locked up at those spots. You know, I always thought maybe he moves to left when Pagan is gone. And, you know, I wouldn't rule that out. But for now, it looks like he's the third baseman of the future. Nunez, you know, and Gillespie will share the spot for the rest of the year. Next year, Nunez is still under contract, one more year. And, you know, I imagine Arroyo would step up to the AAA level, but maybe at some point, you remember Posey came up midseason and, you know, Lincecum came up midseason. At some point, Arroyo is going to come up and they're not going to put him on the bench like they did with, you know, Mack Williamson or Jared Parker and just play him every 3 or 4 days. I think he's going to come up and play every day because he's not going to get any better sitting on the bench. So, I mean, you look at his numbers now in Double-A. They're not great. 283, right? A couple homers, 30-some RBIs, 322 on base percentage. So it's not like he's tearing it up. He had a good fall league. He had a good year in Class A. They do like his hitting potential. They like his defense enough. And I asked Evans the other day after they traded Duffy about Arroyo at third base, and he said, you know, you don't have to rush it, but his words were, he's not that far away.
Hmm.
So fans who are upset this homegrown infield was broken up with Nunez going over there might be relieved that Arroyo is going to come in, and it'll still be all homegrown infield once again at some point, probably next year.
To finish up, John, I mean, this schedule is pretty rough. This weekend, Giants in Washington taking on the first-place Nationals. You got Miami in Miami where it's really hot, and it's also a team that's in contention. Baltimore coming in. They're in first place. The American League East, you know, so you got all these teams that the Giants are playing. This schedule is really rough. We knew it was coming. Are the Giants, you know, prepared for this a little bit better now after the moves they made?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, if you look at this travel schedule after the All-Star break, they had consecutive road trips on the East Coast. You know, after San Diego, they went to Boston, New York, and then they were home for a week. And, you know, now they're in Washington and Miami. And, you know, that's a tough travel, tough teams. And you're right. Then they come back and have some interleague games against the Orioles and Pittsburgh's no slouch, and the Mets are good. And then from there, once it's late August, they have nine more games against the Dodgers. Two series at Dodger Stadium, and then they close the season with three at home against the Dodgers. So that's pretty significant. And we probably won't see Mr. Puig, but we will see a team that, who knows, they might have Kershaw back. At least they'll have some of those injured pitchers back. Rich Hill, one of them, coming over from Oakland. Josh Reddick is aboard. So, you know, they've been able to stay with the Giants despite the fact that Clayton Kershaw went on the disabled list. They've been playing their best ball without Kershaw, which nobody could have imagined. And if he does ever come back, which, who knows, 50-50, you know, they're going to be no slouch. And the Giants are going to have to play a whole lot better brand of ball than they've been playing since the All-Star break.
Right. And I mentioned, you know, the road trip. Well, it'll be hot in Washington. I'm sure it's hot in Philadelphia. They don't have Tim Lincecum anymore. He was the guy who really was affected by the heat. And wait, Miami, I mentioned hot, but wait a minute. Don't they have a retractable roof? So that would be, you know, that's negligible. You don't have to worry about heat during the game, I don't think.
Right. You just have to worry about Barry Bonds.
Yeah, being the hitting coach. Right. And he's done a pretty good job, right?
Well, Miami doesn't have great offensive numbers, but Ichiro's about to get to 3,000 hits, so that's significant.
Exactly.
And they have a guy who won the home run contest with the softball stroke.
Right.
Stanton.
Exactly.
So, I'm not sure. I don't recall Stanton saying, you know, I won it because of something Barry told me, but he was good already. I don't think Barry had to mess with him much. And Stanton, you know, hasn't had a great year. He wasn't an all-star, but he was invited to the home run derby.
Right. Well, John, thanks so much for the time today. Really appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you at AT&T Park for the next homestand.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot. We'll see you there.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Coming up on Monday, we'll have another podcast. The Giants take on the Miami Marlins in Miami. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.